to see each other here tonight. We'll be using our hymn books. Let's turn to Psalm number 22. Psalm number 22 in the hymn book.
Thank you for our pastor being here full time. Lord, I honestly ask you for your unction on him, Father God. I pray that you'd give him power. I pray that you'd give him freedom to preach. And Lord, and I pray that you would give us ears to hear and to learn and to apply. So Father God, I want to ask you to bless this service. Be with us now, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's turn now to number 601. 601. How firm a foundation,
amen.
You saints of the Lord. 601. If you're able to stand on this one, why don't we do so? 601. right. Some announcements tonight. Now that we have our pastor for the foreseeable future, as the Lord tarries, we will continue to have our evening services, and that's going to be a real blessing to be able to have that each week.
Amen.
So we're looking forward to that. We will continue to have our Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. You'll come and join us. Pastor has been speaking out of 2 Peter chapter 1. That's been a great study. I've enjoyed that myself very immensely, and trust each of you have received a blessing from it as well. Hope you'll come and be with us. Pastor, I'm going to try to save you from announcing what you did this morning as best I can. You can correct me if I mess up something. All right. Next Sunday morning, following the service, we will have a meeting. Pastor wants to go over several things with us. First, he wants to talk about his vision for missions and how we can support that here at our church. So that's important. So he wants to talk about that. And then he also wants to talk about this service we're in right now and how we can make it a little bit easier on everybody. So those are the two major things, I believe, that you wanted to talk about following that, the morning service next week. I hope everybody will come and see what the Lord will do for us as a church. For the last 3.5+ years, we've kind of been holding pattern. And obviously, now that our pastor is here, we want to move forward for the Lord.
Amen.
And so let's see what the Lord will do for us. And we want to support our pastor as best we can. And looking forward to that. So that's the main announcements I'm familiar with right now. One other thing, and that is obviously we have several people within our church family that have lost loved ones recently. We want to keep them in prayer. All of them are listed in the bulletin, obviously. The Freeman family, the Hinkles, Chris Mitchell and his family, obviously part of Jason's family, and then Clark Musher's family. All have lost loved ones here in the last several weeks. We want to pray for each one and support one another as much as we can. And on that same note, Pastor, you can add to this if you choose to, but be thinking about what we can do to offer our support to Sister Kathy. She lost both her husband and her son within the last 2 months?
2.5 months.
2.5 months. And that's devastating, no question about it. And so if the Lord lays on your heart to give a special love offering to support her during this time, we would certainly love for you to do that. If the Lord lays that on your heart, you can take one of the envelopes in the back there, put your gift in it, and mark it for Kathy Hinkle and her family, and we will make sure that gets to her. Okay? We want to do what we can to be of help and support to her at this time. And we want to say a hearty amen that your son Travis and his fiance were here this morning.
Amen.
Yes.
That was a real blessing. Hope they keep coming back.
Yeah, working on it.
Okay. We'll keep praying. And then, of course, I know Jason has been working with some people that were friends of Kelly, too. We'll pray to that end that some of those folks will come out and be at our church. So God can use, humanly speaking, what are tragic circumstances to bring honor and glory to Him. And sometimes what could not be accomplished in life can be accomplished in someone's death. And sometimes we are so hard-headed that that's the only way God can work. It would be nice if we didn't have to learn from the school of hard knocks all the time. But we seem to repeat history all the time because we don't learn from it the first time. And so obviously we want to pray that the Lord will take care of each one of us and see us through as we move ahead here as the Lord tarries. I believe that's all the announcements that I'm aware of at the moment. Before we go to our next song, let's take our Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. Go over our memory verse. Titus chapter 2. We started last Sunday in Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. We will continue with that for this week. Starting next Sunday, we will move on to include verse number 12. All right, so Titus 2, verse 11, let's say it together. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All right, good. All right, our next song is number 621. 621. We have the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The next question we should be asking ourselves, are we on the Lord's side? 621. Who is on the Lord's side? Victory is secure, for his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure.
Yes, sir.
Lord.
Goes back to that foundation, does it not? All right. We could park here for a while, but we don't have time. Let's take our hymn books once again and turn to number 631. 631, Soldiers of Christ Arise. I was planning on having all of us stand anyway, but it kind of fits in with the title of the song. So if you're able to stand, let's do so. 631, Soldiers of Christ Arise. Paraphrasing for most of this. You all can be seated. Ephesians 6, correct. Very good.
You know, I've had a few conversations with some of you. Pastor, we had this conversation. I think it's really interesting what the Lord has brought us through in this church the last several weeks and months. Some things have happened here that have, I would say, have never happened before. With two memorial services that we've had, there has never been, in the 44 years we've been here, 45, services where we had this many people that maybe never darkened a door of a church. And what an opportunity we've had to be able to share the gospel, share the good news with these people, share a testimony, and share the love of Jesus. You know, some churches may have looked at Kathy Hinkle. There were some rough looking people here that night, right? And there's I'm sure there's some churches that would have said, no, we're not gonna, we can't allow that. But you know, we got an opportunity to share to show these people that Jesus hung out with people like this. He did. He didn't judge them. He judged the Pharisees. He judged the religious leaders of his day. But he didn't judge the people. People that were that had pain. People that had chains bound in sin. And this song has this is a newer song, but it's called Chain Breaker. And I've been listening to it all week long. My daughter's been starting to sing it with me too. And I think that I'm interested to see what the Lord, I'm excited to see what the Lord has in store for Ray Street. Now that the Weltons are here, and I wonder if God has allowed some of these things to happen to soften our hearts, to pull our hearts towards people that we, you know, maybe in the past have looked down at sometimes, like, oh, well, at least I'm not like them, you know. But you know what? Some of us were just like them, and we've been saved, but you were bought. But you've been washed. Such were some of you, and such was I. So I really enjoy this song. I hope you do too. And this is what the world needs.
Mm-hmm.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Testify if you've got pain. A pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. And if you need freedom saving, prison shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. He's a chain breaker. A chain breaker.
Appreciate the songs this evening. It's kind of going along with on my. I went home this afternoon. It was just heavy on my heart that there is victory in Jesus Christ. There is victory in Jesus Christ. The chains can be broken. We can live victorious for our Savior. We can have joy because of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to be down. We don't have to be out. And I'm not saying there's not times like I talked about this morning about depression or being sad. But there we are. Take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 8. This is the verse that kept coming to my mind this afternoon before I came over to church. And we're not going to look at this evening, but I just want to read this to you. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. No matter what we go through, there's victory in Jesus Christ. Okay, you can stand through the storm, okay? And you can have victory through the storm, and you can have joy through the storm. Not to say that you're going to run around and you're happy and you're jumping up and down, because this church, like Jason said, has been through a lot these last 2 months. And so it's not like you're going to jump around, everything's... But you can have a peace and a joy through it. Because you know that the Lord is right there with you through it all. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 35. I love this. I love it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? You see, the devil wants to get in your mind and he wants to plague you, say that you're separate. That it's almost like what the Catholic Church puts across, that if you don't do X, Y, and Z, then this is going to happen to you and we're going to excommunicate you. Who can separate you from the love of Christ? There's no man on this planet can separate you from the love of Christ if you're his. I don't care if you're the Pope over there in Rome. I don't care what you do. You can burn me at the stake. The Bible says you cannot separate me from the love of Christ. And you're not going to intimidate me by what you're saying I need to do to have the love of Christ. I know Jesus Christ loves me and he died for me. And now I'm his. And the Bible says, who shall separate us from the light? Shall tribulation? Dear brothers and sisters, this evening Paul saying to the Romans, he said, who's going to, shall a tribulation that you're going through, will that separate you from the God that loves you? No. Or distress? I know I go through some distress, but it's not going to separate me from the love of Christ. Shall persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Paul says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Just get it in your mind tonight as we go through the rest of our life, however long the Lord would have us here, that we're sheep. Look, we're sheep for the slaughter. We're all the day long, we're killed. All the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. No matter what you go through, no matter what persecution you may take as a sheep for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what distress, tribulation, famine, nakedness, or peril, or even a sword which takes your life. Paul says, expect it, brethren. He's telling those there at Rome, and we're going to look at it in Thessalonians, like, he's like, expect that this is going to happen to you. But know that when it happens, don't hang your head. Don't get down and out saying what. He says in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Why? Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Three times there, and how many? One, two, three, four, five verses. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Separate, separate, separate the love. Don't let the enemy get in there and try to say that you're not loved by God. If you're his, you're loved. If you're his, you're his son, you're his daughter, and he loves you with an everlasting love, and he's given you eternal life, and we're victorious in that. We can live victorious through Jesus Christ our Savior, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what's going on around us. Don't look at the waves. Don't hear the boisterous wind. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. As soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, you're going to start sinking. That's exactly what happened with Peter. A lot of people get on, I don't understand this, a lot of people get on Peter. He got out the boat. That man got off the boat and walked on water. Well, he didn't have, you're going to get out of the boat with a storm? Peter got off the boat and started walking on water. But when he started looking around, he started hearing the voice. Look, I talked about this morning. The battle's right here. I don't know about you, but I know for me, it's right here. I would rather have a fist fight with somebody or a wrestling match. I would rather physically wrestle somebody. Because if I say this all the time in a juvenile center, if I have something against you, brother, you against me, and they have to separate us, well, I don't have to worry about it because now we're separated unless we come back together again. But you can't separate from this right here. And the devil knows that. And so often the worst times, now I don't know about you, but for me, so often the worst times are the middle of the night. Or towards the later part of the night when it's dark out and things are quiet. That's when the battle really comes in. I don't know about you, but that's for me. And it just feels like at those times you're just like, what's the use? God hates me. This brother doesn't like me. They don't like this. They don't like that. And they don't like what you said there. You're just worthless. Why don't you just give it up? Why don't you just go out there and just shoot yourself? Brethren, I'm telling you, the thoughts come in the head, crazy thoughts. But it's coming from the enemy because he knows the battleground's right here in the mind. And if you can put those thoughts in there and saying you're worthless, you're not a child of God. If you love God, you would do this. If you love God, you do that. And sometimes you can't run from it. But what you can do is you can run to the Word of God and say, well, yeah, but God says in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing. Nothing. If I'm His, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Remember that. That's why it's so important to spend time in the Bible. That's why it's so important to memorize Scripture. That's why it's so important to come to church and be around the brethren. Church is essential. The local church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We don't come to church for the preacher. We come to church for one another because we need one another. That's why it's so important. Like you can have virtual church, but there's a problem because you don't interact with one another. Sheep need interaction. Sheep need to touch one another. Sheep need to be around one another in order to survive. When a sheep gets off by itself and stays there, that's a dangerous spot for that sheep. Because not only number one is he separated from the shepherd and the others, he's in a dangerous spot just because of the prey that might be around trying to get him. Because most prey look for that one that drifts from the flock. Watch a lion over there in Africa. And guess where the lion tries to attack most? Around the water hole. What's the water hole for? The church. So you start drifting away a little bit from the water hole, and maybe you're a little weak, maybe you're a little lame, maybe you're young in the Lord. That's the one the lion's going to go after. He ain't going to go after the strong cat, the strong antelope or the strong sheep. He's going to find that weak one that's drifted off just a little bit, and he's going to keep his eye on it, and that's when he's going to pounce. That's why the church is so important. That's why it's so important to be around one another and strengthen one another and help one another and talk to one another. And in a sense, understand, touch one another. Human beings need touch. We need it. And in our society, a lot, especially up, it's a little bit different down south, up here north, there's a coldness. That's not good, brethren. It's not good. It's not healthy. I'm going to say this. My pastor said too, and I agree with him. The Bible said, Paul said in the New Testament to greet one another with a holy kiss. Right. You one of the most special things my pastor ever did to me one time? I was down. I was out. And I wasn't planning on talking this evening, but I believe the Lord's having me go this direction. I was down and out. And that's kind of my personality. I was down. There's a lot going on with the juvenile center. I was just sad. And I went in his office. I just broke down in tears and said, I'm just sad. Just because of everything, the chaos with kids and all that. And he just gave me a big hug. Now, he's a lot shorter than me. He gave me a big hug, but he leaned me over, and he just gave me a big old kiss on the top of the head. You don't think that does something for somebody? Now, don't worry. I'm not going to give you a big hug tonight and kiss you on top of your head. You're like, oh, the pastor, stay away from me. I'm not going to do that. And I understand the society we live in, and he understands the society. But it's a shame where we've gotten to where you can't greet one another with a holy kiss. You see it over in foreign countries. I don't know what countries, but they kiss each other on the cheek. There's nothing perverse about that. We need one another. When you start getting isolated and you start staying to yourself is a time you're going to start having troubles and issues. And the devil keys in on that. And so I say tonight that we can have joy. We can have strength, we can have encouragement, we can have peace no matter what goes on around us. Take your Bible, and hopefully we get over to 1 Thessalonians. Take your Bible, look at 1 Thessalonians this evening. And it kind of goes along with what we're going to look at tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 6. I want to look at the latter part of this evening, of chapter 6. We might get into verse 6, we might get into verse 7. But the latter part of verse 6, what Paul tells the church here, he says to them, he says, and ye became follower of us and of the Lord. How, Paul? He says, having received the word in much affliction. But what he says next, he says, with joy of the Holy Ghost. You see, when Paul came to preach to those there in Thessalonica, they went through some things there, and you can look at it in the book of Acts, because Paul leaves out of there and he goes to Berea. And the Jews even followed him to Berea and caused him trouble there. So when Paul came to Thessalonica, and then later on here as he's writing this letter to him, when he came to them, they received the word in much affliction. You see, when Paul came in there preaching to those churches, it's a little different than what we have here in the United States. You see, we're free. Brother Glenn prayed it. We're free to come into church tonight. We're free to walk up and down this street. We're even free to stand in a corner pretty much and proclaim the gospel of Christ for the most part. And we don't have to suffer a persecution of somebody throwing a rock at us or the authorities coming in and throwing us into prison because we're preaching something against the authorities. We're pretty free here in this country. And Thessalonica, it cost them something. And Paul's acknowledging that, saying, you've received the word in much affliction, but they received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. They were happy. They were ecstatic. They had joy, not because, again, of their circumstances, but because of what God has done now in their lives. He's delivered them from idols and now has given them eternal life and hope through what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you see what we have tonight? If you're saved tonight, you have the greatest treasure there ever was. You have the very Son of God dwelling within you. Brethren, I start to think about that and it just starts blowing my mind. That God dwells within you. Think about that. If you're saved tonight, the Creator of all the universe dwells within you this evening. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie before, The Nativity, the Christmas movie on it, or whatever, but the story of Jesus Christ and his birth. And I'll tell you one thing about that movie that always just, every time I see it, just blows my mind away, is the picture that they give there at the end where Mary has the Lord, and I'm just amazed that she is holding God manifested in the flesh. The one that spoke the world into existence was at one time a baby that his mama Mary held in her arms. It blows my mind away every time I see it, that God became a man and was born of a virgin. Amazing. She's holding the Creator in her hands. She had to dress him. She had to change his diaper. She had to feed him. The one that gives her life. And you don't think God loves you? God loves us with a love we'll never comprehend. We'll never comprehend. Why? Why would God love us? Why would God love me? It's a question for the ages. Why God would love us. But Paul tells him here, he says, they received it with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Brother Jason, you said it there. Obviously, I wasn't here the other day for the memorial service. But people need to see love, true love. There's been a lot of perverse love put out in society, a lot of emphasis put on what is a false love, and a de-emphasis on what is true love. And my heart goes out to those that I see out there on the street corners that most people would just turn their nose at. Because you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what their life story's been. You don't know what kind of home they grew up in. You don't know. There's a lot of kids out there today and adults that just grew up in foster care. Bounced from one home to the next home to the next home to the next home till they're 18. And never known true love. And what an opportunity it is as a church to show true love no matter what you look like. Now, brethren, I'm not saying you make an excuse or you excuse sin. Absolutely not. No. You never make an excuse for sin. And sin has to be dealt with. But you can still show love. What did Jesus say to that woman that they brought to him that was caught in adultery? Go And what? He dealt with her. Sin no more now. He dealt with another man, and I can't think off the top of my head, and he said, lest the worst thing come upon thee. Because it seems to imply, it seemed like the Lord's implying to him, you did something that caused you to get in this state. I'm healing you. Don't go do it again, or don't get in the same sort of a situation. Do you see? Jesus went to the publicans and the sinners. But he did deal with the sin. But he showed love in it. And I think that's exactly what we need to do. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. A few more minutes here. But they had joy with the Holy Ghost. They received the word with much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. This is another amazing verse in the Bible, to me anyways. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Give me one second here. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Do you see, it seemed like those in Macedonia, that the more they were afflicted and the more they went into poverty, the more joy they had and the more liberal they were to give with what they did have. So it seems like the more that they went through and the more that they lost, the more they had a spirit of wanting to give. That's amazing. Because look what it says in verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see, the brethren there in Macedonia were at the point to where they were like, Lord, you can have it all. And Paul says that through the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. You see, they had nothing in Macedonia as brethren. They had affliction, they had persecution, they had trials. But through it all, they had this great joy that I don't think they could have got unless they were willing to go through what they went through. You see, there's some things that God desires for us to have. But like I said before, don't shy away from the fire. Well, preacher, I ain't got no joy. Well, preacher, I'm not very happy. Well, preacher, I don't. Well, are you stepping away from the? Are you stepping away from the fire? Are you not allowing God to do what He wants to do in your life? Allow God to work, because if you allow God to work, you're going to have joy. When you finally realize that it's not about you, it's all about Jesus Christ and others. If you continue to try to, if your focus is always on you. Me, you're not going to have joy because the focus is on you. But when you can put yourself on that cross and die daily and say, Lord, help me to be there for others, you're going to have a joy that's unexplainable. And people are going to be like, this man, they're either going to say you're crazy or they're going to say, I want what you got. One of the two. Because this makes no sense. You've just had... Let's take this man right here. He just lost his wife. You lost your son and husband. But imagine this. There's people that know this about you too. And if you can go out to work and you could have some joy in the right sense, or you could be around and you could have some joy, people are going to question that. They're going to say, how can you have a smile on your face today? You just lost your wife so long ago. How come you can be like this and have a good attitude with all that you've been through? And you can look at him and say, it's not me, it's what Jesus Christ has done for me. You see, that's power. Me and Brother Lance were talking about, this world doesn't just need to see some scripture verses and understand what I'm saying. They need to see some power behind it. Does it make sense? I know, don't misunderstand me. There's power in the Word of God. And there's power, God's Word doesn't return void. But there's power in our life too when we live by example and action. when we put it into practice, when we live the scripture rather than just say the scripture, if that makes sense. Okay? People can hear talk all day long, but unless they see it in action, they're going to be like, it's just talk. Yeah, you repeat the scriptures, but it's like I said this morning, is it just some nice little quote on your wall? Or is it something that's evident in your life? That has power with people. And that can make a difference. And that's exactly what the brethren in Macedonia had. They had basically, the Bible says they had not just poverty. The Bible says deep poverty. These people in Macedonia were at the bottom of the bottom. Yet, look what it says. Look what it did for them. Abounded unto what? Unto the riches of their liberality. They were willing just to give. They were just willing to give anything they had. And Paul's telling these people in here in Corinth, he's almost rebuking them, saying these people got nothing and they're wanting to try to do something for you. And you might have all this stuff and you're not willing to do nothing for nobody. There's a verse in Proverbs, and I don't know where it's at right now, but it says that there is that make themselves rich, yet hath nothing, and there is that make themselves poor, yet hath great riches. Some of y'all, you're nodding your head, you know that scripture. I thought it was in chapter 14, but there is that maketh himself rich, yet the Bible says he hath nothing. Well, how can he have nothing? He's got riches. Yeah, but there is that maketh himself poor. Makes himself poor. I don't think that's just money. I think that's poor in spirit as well. Maketh himself poor and as a savior of no reputation. Brethren, if the Savior made himself of no reputation, who am I to be worried about my reputation? You see? I don't care what other pastors may say here about Chris Welton as a pastor of Ray Street. I'm not worried about my reputation. The only one I'm worried about with my reputation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you might be misunderstood. Was not our Savior misunderstood? Wasn't he not called a bastard? Was not Mary misunderstood? She didn't try to justify herself. She was clear with God. So often God takes us through the school of misunderstanding. That's a rough school to go through. Because in our flesh, we always want to justify ourselves and prove that, no, it's not the way it seems. Maybe the Lord wants it to appear that way to see where that individual's heart's at. The school of misunderstanding. Maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. That's an oxymoron. The way up is down, the way down is up. See how the Lord works? But those are schools that, see, you can't teach that in Bible college. See, you can get intellect, you can get knowledge at school, but God's school is something else now. God's Bible college is on a whole nother level. Whole nother level. I just don't want intellectual knowledge of the Bible. I want a living knowledge of the Bible. Because that's what this world needs to see. And I hope that makes sense this evening. And that's what Paul's telling them there in Thessalonica. He says, listen, he says, I've noticed that through much affliction, you received the word of God. And not only have you received it, but you have joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to look at three other scriptures real quick, and we'll pray, be done here in a few seconds. Finishing up this thought on joy. We can have joy through the Holy Ghost when going through affliction. Take your Bible and look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And then we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Both dealing with joy, but dealing with it through the eyes of our Savior. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse number 2. And this there is quite a study here on this, and too exhaustive to look at it this evening. But look at Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Because they received it with joy of the Holy Ghost, those there in Thessalonica. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, talking about those chains that he sang about this evening. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, And let us run with patience, because listen, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And as you run this race, what are you looking to? Look at verse 2. As you run this race with patience and you lay aside every sin and every weight which is besetting you and weighing you down, put them aside. And as you're running, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look at this now. This is one of those things. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Look at chapter 5 and verse 9 in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5 and look at verse number 9. Look at verse 5. Hebrews 5:5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, look what, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now you look back at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. It's almost as if to say when the Lord was there in the garden and he took that cup and he saw the cross coming up, he was able to look beyond the cross to the joy that was beyond that. And what was the joy beyond that? The joy beyond that was having fulfilled the Father's will. And then also the ability now to provide eternal life to those that the Father loved. So my point this evening with it is, in order to have that joy, you've got to look beyond the trial. You've got to look beyond the persecution. You've got to look beyond the affliction. And when you're able to do that, you'll have joy because you'll know what is on the other side. When you get stuck at what you see right here is where you get problems. This is not it. Look, they could come in tonight, God forbid, and say you reject Christ or you go into prison and we're going to put you to death. Now, I don't know what I do in that situation. I hope I would do the right thing and be willing to lay down my life. You can't, preacher, you don't think you, I don't know what, I've never been put in that type of situation before. I pray to God that I would have the strength to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, as our martyrs did in the past. But if that happens, I need to have in my mind that no matter what may happen to my flesh, my spirit is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the joy that is before me beyond that little trial, persecution, or death. Heaven. Eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. A God that never will leave me nor forsake me. One that will love for me for eternity. One that's got a mansion for me there in glory. The new heaven and the new earth. What it awaits eternity. Looking beyond it. And when you can look beyond it, you can have a joy that is unexplainable. Because you're not basing your joy and your happiness on what you see and what goes on in your life right here and right now. And the brethren and even the Lord had to learn that. Look, verse number 8 blows my mind away. He was very God manifest in the flesh, but he was also a man. And the Bible says, though he were a son. You're a son and you're a daughter this evening if you're saved. Get this now. If you're a son and daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, how can you expect to skirt around something that he himself had to go through? And look what it says. Though he were a son, Yet he learned obedience. How did he learn obedience? Through the things which he suffered. You can't learn. It is impossible to learn obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his word without having to go through some suffering. And you see that principle from very on when you raise up a young child. When you spank their little rear end, that's suffering. And what do they learn through that suffering? The rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod and reproof give wisdom, which brings along with it obedience. You discipline a child the right way when they're small, and as they come up, they'll now be obedient to what you want them to do. They learned obedience through the things which they suffered. And it's the same way with a Christian. If Jesus Christ, I don't understand it, don't ask me to explain it. I don't understand verse 8, but I know what it says. It says that Jesus Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And when he learned that, he was able to see that joy. He was able to have that joy that was set before him, even though he had to endure that cross, even though he had to endure that shame, even though he had to endure all those things that he went through for us to take away our sins forever. He had a joy because he saw what was beyond that. Last thing here, look at Acts chapter 13. We're going to close with this scripture here. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 44. We'll close right here. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 44. Next time you read through the book of Acts, if you like, next time you just read through it, take a little notebook, or if you got a little pen, I underline things in my Bible and things like that. Make note how many times the word joy or joyful or joyous or something along those lines is mentioned in the book of Acts. And then put it in context with what they were going through. So look at Acts chapter 13 and look at verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. That's a pretty good thing there. And when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Could be those there in Thessalonica. The Gentiles were happy because of the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But look at verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And look what it says in verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to close with this thought. You said, brother, there was opportunity that people would come to church that normally wouldn't come to church. An opportunity, who wouldn't want to see a lot of people in church? Or to see the Lord move or work. But you got to understand, if the Lord starts moving and working, there's going to come some persecution with that. There's going to come some trials with that. But you can be joyous in it. You see, they had the whole... Paul and Barnabas had an opportunity to preach to a whole city, but it came at a cost. They were persecuted for it. But they didn't walk away like, oh man, I just had to go through this. I just got beat. I just got stoned. No, they counted it joy. They counted a joy that they were able to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the cause of his name. So I want to close with this thought this evening. I don't know what's going on in every one of y'all, in every one of your lives. I have no idea. It's impossible for me to know that. But whatever you might be going through, allow God to work in it to benefit you, to where it produces a joy in your life because you're looking beyond it. And you know what, brethren, the Lord's never going to put more on you than you can handle. He has, look, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God's got, if God allows something in your life and you're trying to walk for him, with Him, there's a reason for it. He's just not doing it just to do it, to make you upset, to make you feel pain, to make you feel trouble. He's doing it for a purpose. Allow that purpose to work in your life. Allow it to have it. Allow it to come to fruition in order to bring glory and honor to the Savior. Don't shy away from the fire if the Lord has you to go through the fire. And that's easier to say than it is to go through it. I know that in my own mind. I'm thinking as I'm saying it, it's like the thoughts are coming to my head. All right, big boy, yeah, you're going to go through the fire. That thought came right in my mind as I was saying it. We're not exempt for it, but we know that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He loves you this evening. And He wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. Because He knows what awaits for you. He knows what's on the other side. And He's encouraging you this evening, as in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, run that race. Don't faint. Don't quit. If you get knocked down, get back up again and keep fighting the good fight of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for these precious brethren. I thank you for the ability and freedom to be able to come out to church tonight. I thank you for your word, Lord, that I can hold it, that I can memorize it, Lord, that I can study it. Thank you for that, the great and precious gift that you've given to us. Help us to walk in it. Help us to live in the light of it. Help us, help your word just to come out in our lives, dear God. And it may not, we might not just be just saying it, Lord, but we would be doers of it as well. And Lord, I pray you'd help these brethren this evening, help those that have to go to work early this morning, protect them, keep them safe, help us as we head back home, watch over us. And Lord, help us just to continue to fight the good fight for you, Lord, until you call us home, either by way of the rapture or death. Lord, just help us, Lord, just to stay faithful and to keep fighting. And we ask this now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you and hope you have a good week.